Our reading this morning is in two parts, so we're going to read the first part and then we'll take time out for prayers of intercession, and then we'll read the second part. So we're turning to Matthew 13. We're still in Matthew 13, page 979 in the Pew Bibles, if that's the Bible that you're following, 979, Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read verses 24 to 30, and then later we'll pick it up at verse 36 again, but we're going to start with those seven verses, Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. It is the parable of the weeds, is what it's called here in my Bible. Picking up at verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn.'" And we end our reading there. So we're going to continue our second part of our reading, which is now where Jesus explains the meaning of this parable of the weeds. So we're still in Matthew 13, but we're going to pick it up at verse 36. If you're in the Pew Bibles, that's the next page. If you turn over to page 980, you'll find it there. Verse 36 of Matthew chapter 13. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. And his disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned into the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, and where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." And we end that reading there. We pray God's blessing on his word. In fact, let us do just that. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray for your blessing to come from this word as we consider it. We pray, Lord, that you will speak into our lives, not words of that bring condemnation and fear, but words that just make us alert to the world that we live in. That it's important for us to keep our eyes firmly focused on you, on the truth that you speak to us and the truth that you speak through your people. Lord, may that be what we take from this today. That the world we live in is full of deceit and trickery, but your kingdom is a kingdom of truth that brings love, life, and light into our lives. So we keep our eyes focused on you, Lord. We pray that you will speak to us through the words that have been prepared today, Lord, that the power of your Spirit will just take these words and do incredible things with them, Lord. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's a movie, you might have seen it. It's a movie called Fireproof. It's made by the same people that did Facing the Giants and The War Room. It's called Fireproof. It's a Christian movie. It's about a fireman, but a fireman who is trying to save his marriage. He has done things. He has made mistakes in his relationship, and he has realized that, and so he wants to save his marriage. But there's one scene in the movie when him and some of the other firemen are gathered around a table together, and they do this thing that they call the hot sauce challenge. Maybe a note to make. I'm thinking this whole story, make a note for when Clifford gets back. Don't tell him this, okay? So in the challenge, what they do is they see who can drink a bottle of hot sauce the quickest. The trick of us all, though, is that in the movie, our hero of the movie, the main character of the movie, what he does is in his bottle of hot sauce, it's just tomato sauce that's been watered down. But the other guy in the story has a real bottle of hot sauce. So he has no problem drinking his, but the other guy, to the amusement of everybody else, struggles his way through this little bottle of Tabasco, of hot sauce. But in real life, what they did, the actors, both bottles were supposed to be watered down bottles of tomato sauce, but in real life what they did was they gave the other guy a real bottle of Tabasco sauce. So the actor didn't know this. When he picked it up, he thought he's just drinking a bottle of watered down tomato sauce. But obviously it must have been something to see on film or behind the scenes when he drank this bottle of hot sauce. Sometimes we can look at things and think that they're one thing. But when we taste them or when we experience them, we discover that there's something else entirely different. And that is the message of this parable that Jesus is sharing with us. This is one of two parables that Jesus explains to us. The other one was the parable of the sower that Willis looked at last week and unpacked with us. So that's really helpful because sometimes parables can be difficult to understand. Sometimes it can be hard for us to make sense of what Jesus is teaching, or we can misunderstand what Jesus is teaching. And this is one of those parables where there is a risk of it being misunderstood. Although Jesus is using the metaphor of seeds and wheats and weeds again, like he did in the previous parable, he uses them in a different way here. In the parable that Willis looked at last week, the seeds were the word of God or the gospel that is spread around as God's people go out and sow seed. But in this parable, the seeds are true believers. And the sower is not us. The sower is God. The sower is Jesus. And the weeds that are growing there are false believers. And the weeds have been deliberately planted amongst the wheat to cause confusion, to frustrate the work of God, and to weaken God's kingdom by tricking people into thinking that this false kingdom is the kingdom of God. But while we're thinking about what Jesus is saying here, it's also important that we understand what Jesus is not saying here, because as I say, this is a parable that can be misunderstood. So it's important for us to understand what Jesus is not saying here. Jesus is very clear that the field where the wheat and the weeds are growing is the world. It's not the church. Jesus is saying that the field where the wheat and the weeds are growing is the world. And yes, there might be false believers within church communities, but this parable is not about that. If this parable was about the church, then it would be contradicting what Jesus teaches in Matthew 18 and what Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 5 about how the church should treat unrepentant believers or unrepentant sinners in their communities. Jesus tells us to treat them as unbelievers. Paul tells us to get rid of the old yeast by removing this wicked person from among you. But in this parable, Jesus is talking about the world that we live in. That in this world there will be believers and there will be unbelievers. And sometimes amongst those unbelievers will be ones who present themselves as believers. When Jesus talks about weeds, we might find it a little strange that anybody could confuse weeds with wheat. But that's mainly because the weeds that we have growing in our gardens and in our fields are not the weeds that Jesus is talking about here. Those weeds that we have in our garden, sometimes too many of them, don't look anything like wheat. So Jesus is probably referring to a particular type of wheat, a particular type of weed that is known as darnel. It's a poisonous plant. It's related to the wheat, but it's different. It's a poisonous plant. It looks very similar, but it's only when the ears begin to grow that you can then tell the difference between the two plants. In other words, the way that we tell the two plants apart is by their fruit. One nourishes and one poisons. That's how we tell the difference between what is wheat and what is weeds, is when the fruit starts to be produced. One poisons and destroys, and the other one gives life and nourishes. The fruit of the work of the false believer doesn't bring life. Even if on the outside it gives the appearance of being God's children. A couple of weeks ago we went out for a meal and Bianca ordered, we ordered starters, and Bianca had a starter, and on her little starter plate were these lovely little slices of cherry tomatoes. They looked lovely, they looked exciting, and so she had one. What she discovered once she had it was it wasn't slices of cherry tomatoes, it was little slices of red chili. Even if on the outside it looks like one thing, when we taste of it, we can discover that it's not quite what we expect it to be. And so Jesus is saying to us to be careful, to watch out. Paul talks about this in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5, about how things will be as we draw closer to Jesus' return. He talks about people, and he says they will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. And then he says this, he says that they will have a form of godliness, but denying its power. And this power that he's talking about is the power to save. In other words, these people will present to the world something that looks and sounds like godliness, but doesn't carry with it the power to save you and me. In fact, what Paul is saying here is that if we look at them closely, this godliness that they're presenting, what we'll see is that it is not godly at all. You'll notice that what they're promoting is not loving. It isn't forgiving. They will talk terribly about other people, and they won't be able to hold themselves back from these things. Everything about them will be about themselves and about their desire for power and to hold on to power, for influence, to be noticed. And if anyone dares expose them, they will kick back with hatred and with cruelty. And Paul says we must have nothing to do with these people. Who are these people? They are people who falsely take on the name of Jesus and present themselves to the world and to other Christians as being people of God. But the fruit of their teaching and the fruit of their preaching and their work will not be the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because they will not be people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. They won't produce love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and self-control. Instead, they will sow hate and hurt and division, shame and guilt and blame. They will only offer a conditional forgiveness and dress up revenge as justice. But they will present it all as something godly. And this is what Jesus is talking to us about here. That as the kingdom of God grows, alongside of it will grow another kingdom. A kingdom that will ultimately be destroyed. But until that time, we need to be alert to what is happening around us. And so as we read this parable, what we see here is both a warning and a reminder from Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that the kingdom is going to be made up, or it is made up, of people who look and sound and express their faith differently to us. They express their culture differently to us, but all part of one kingdom. But it can be easy for us to misunderstand these different expressions of faith, which could result us using the terms that Jesus uses in the parable of pulling up wheat when we think that it's weeds. And that can cause incredible hurt amongst our brothers and sisters when we accuse them of being something that they're not. just because they're doing things or expressing things differently to us. Jesus reminds us in this parable that that judgment is for him to make, not for us to make. Because let's be honest, we don't have a great track record of dealing with this type of thing. Think about the Spanish Inquisition, think about the Crusades. When we take it on ourselves to root out false believers, we do incredible harm to other believers and also to the reputation of the kingdom. We are called to be light that draws people into the kingdom, but sometimes we can be really bad at that and we end up pushing people away from God. Unintentionally, yes, but because we're taking on things that are not our responsibility. We see ourselves as being able to judge people's hearts, and Jesus is very clear that is not our responsibility. That is our reminder that God is the judge, not us. He will ultimately judge, and he will send out his own creatures, his angels, to do the work that sometimes we think is for us to do. Our role in these agricultural stories is to sow seed. That is our role. We are the ones that go out and share the gospel and allow the Holy Spirit to do its work. But this parable is also a warning to us. It's a warning that there is a kingdom coming, that God has already placed his people in the world to be present and to present that kingdom to the world around us. And when that kingdom fully comes, when God creates a new heaven and a new earth, all that will remain is the wheat. All that will remain are the true believers. Jesus is saying that there are two paths that lead to two very different eternal destinies. It is only the true believer, though, that finds life. And who is the true believer? Well, let's go back a couple of weeks ago again when we spoke about the family of God, when we spoke about Jesus' brothers and sisters and mother. He says, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers? Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And what is the will of the Father in heaven? That we would believe in his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus warns us that our lives can only end up in one of two places, and he is the only way that gets us to the kingdom of heaven. But Satan is crafty, Jesus is saying. Satan is crafty, and he will try and trick us to move in a different direction. What we need to do is repent of our sinfulness and keep our eyes firmly focused on Jesus as we follow him. And so to bring this to a close, what can we take from this parable for us today? If you are already a believer, if you sit here already as a believer, Jesus is reminding us that we need to be careful. We need to be careful about the things that we cling to or that we are drawn to that appear to be Christian, but on careful inspection, we discover that they might not actually be of God. Perhaps that's what Peter was thinking of. Perhaps this parable when he wrote in 1 Peter 4, verses 1, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Or maybe he was thinking about another warning Jesus gave earlier in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew 7, verse 15, when he says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them." That's what Jesus says. By their fruit, you will recognize them. When the wheat and the weeds grow up together, the first time that you can tell them apart is when the ears appear. By their fruit, you will recognize them. True believers shouldn't intentionally be producing fruit of hate and condemnation. Yes, sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we get it wrong, but then we should be repenting of those mistakes. We should be asking for forgiveness for those mistakes. But look at the fruit that has been produced. The point that's being made is that it might, sorry, the point that someone is making might sound right, but when we look closer, when we look at the fruit that's been produced, we discover that it's poison. That is the takeaway for you today if you sit here as a true believer, if you sit here as one who has given their lives to Jesus. If you have not yet given your life to Jesus, then for you, Jesus is saying this. There will be a certain type of Christianity that will be presented to you that on closer inspection you will discover that it's not Christianity at all. A type of godliness that is not of God. And it doesn't have the power to save you. It might present itself as being all about Jesus, but when we look at it closer, what we discover that it is hateful and that it is hurtful. That it sets preconditions on who is welcomed into the kingdom that is designed to exclude rather than to include. That's not to say that anything goes in the kingdom, but the Bible is clear that the only condition necessary to enter into the kingdom of God is to believe in the Son of God, to believe in Jesus, to truly believe in Jesus. And then what will happen over time through the prompting and the strength of the Holy Spirit, our behaviors and our attitudes will change. Paul says that we are being transformed into the glorious image of Jesus. Jesus' invitation to you today, if you have not yet given your life to him, is to come and experience him, to come and experience his love for yourself. Discover it through the work that he has already done on the cross. Discover it through the love of his people. If your experience of God's people is an experience of condemnation and rejection, of hurt and hate, let this parable be a reassurance to you that what you have experienced is not the love that God wants you to feel, but something else entirely different. And Jesus says it's okay to walk away from that because that's not of him. He doesn't want you to walk away from him, though. He wants you to come to him, to experience his love for real, because it's only him who can offer you life. What presents itself in the world as life-giving, if it's not of God, it is trickery, it is poison, and it can only lead you in a different direction. Only Jesus can offer you life. Only Jesus can offer you love that accepts you and wraps its arms around you and draws you close to him and doesn't push you away and wants what is best for you, but loves you just as you are right now. There is no precondition to God loving you. He even loves us before we've given our lives to him. He doesn't wait for us to give our lives to him. He loves you right now, just as you are, and he wants you to call yourself his child. And the only way that you can do that is to receive him into your life as your Lord and Savior. The journey that we take through life has only two outcomes. Jesus is saying, choose carefully, tread carefully, but believe in him, because he is the life and the light of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and whatever others might tell you, whatever pretty pictures the world might paint for you, no one comes to the Father except through him. Let's pray. Loving God, we pray today for wisdom and discernment, because that is what your parable is about. Your parable is saying in the world there will be things that are of you and there will be things that are not of you, and sometimes those things that are not of you will look like they are of you. But your Holy Spirit helps us to discern. It's one of those gifts that you give us, just that ability to see what is of you and what is not of you. So we pray that today, Lord. We pray, Lord, that if we are already a believer, that we will not be led away, that we will not be fooled by things that are not of you, that we will keep our eyes firmly focused on you, Lord. Because the country that we've all grown up in here, whether it's Northern Ireland or South Africa or other countries, there will always be people who will use the name of Jesus to lead us astray. They'll always use the name of Jesus to create division and hatred and hurt. God, I pray that you will help us to discern the wheat from the weeds. and that we will pursue the wheat, that we will want to be the wheat. I pray that for each one of us here, Lord, for those who are not yet believers, who want to know if it is really all about Jesus. Lord, we know that it is, but we discover that for ourselves, and we want each one of them, Lord, to discover that. Whether it's through the work that you're doing through us or through others, Lord. But we pray, Lord, that they will be aware that there are things going to be presented to them of you that are not. And those things will take them down a path of hurt. Lord, we pray that they will seek out the true light and be drawn to you, Lord. I thank you, God, that you love us enough to warn us of these things, to tell us, so that we can keep our eyes firmly focused on you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Will you stand with us?
Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams and my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. 'Cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams and my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am.
Blessing this morning, I want to read to you words from Philippians chapter 4 as we go out into the world. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, and the peace of God will be with you. The blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.